Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has taken her passion for the dramatic arts, which she spent more than a decade and a half honing, and turned it into a new theater troupe, Audience of One, whose aim is to, quote, bring the gospel to life through drama and music, end quote. We're going to talk to Artistic Director Kim Potroff, who's in the studio tonight, about the theater troupe and its production of Dinner with the Perfect Stranger that takes place this month. But first, let's listen to Carol of the Bells from the Glory CD of Guelph jazz violinist Trevor Dick's Glory and Peace Christmas CD project. And our interview with Kim Potroff. Good evening, Kim.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, let's get a little bit more information about you and get our listeners to know a little more about you. Where did your love for the dramatic arts come from?
Oh, wow. It probably started back in high school. I went to high school in Guelph, and it had a pretty extensive theater program, drama program. And so that's where I would say my first love came. Of course, I had a boyfriend that was very into theater at the time. So that, you know, I think helped that interest along a little. And then decided to go to university for that in Windsor. And ended up with my Bachelor of Fine Arts in Performance with that, and then continued on working at that professionally for the next number of years.
So what were some of the things you're doing? Were you doing stage? Were you doing television? Were you doing radio? You know, what were some of the things you were getting into?
It was primarily stage. I did some docudramas, so to speak, for industrial films and stuff like that. A little bit of commercial work, but primarily live theater and heavily focused on musical theater, actually.
So, what attracted you to that particular area of the theater?
Musical theater. Singing is something that I did from a very young age. I started playing the guitar at 10 and was always singing. And I remember one day a friend of my sister's came in to the living room and said, "Oh, well, I thought that was a record." And so I went, "Oh, okay, I must have some ability at this." And so singing was something I always loved to do. Anywhere, in the car, in the shower, wherever. It's something that really I just love. It's a passion for me. And started, when I was saved, one of the big things for me was becoming a part of a worship team, mm-hmm. and praising the Lord through that worship was just it just really connected with me, and I just absolutely loved it. So music has always been huge for me in terms of worship with the Lord as well.
Well, when you're looking at doing the theater itself, and when you were building on that career, where were you working? Were you working in were you staying in Windsor, or did you move around? How did you? Where were some of the areas you worked in?
Well, when I graduated from Windsor, I wasn't working in the field whilst I was schooling, but after schooling, moved to Toronto, and then was kind of doing odd jobs, but then ended up at a place called His Majesty's Feast, not Medieval Times. Many people would confuse us with that when it started. When Medieval Times started, but His Majesty's Feast was like a musical theater comedy based on King Henry VIII, and you would come in and you would have dinner and we would be singing wenches. Everybody there was basically, at the moment, an out-of-work actor. So we would be able to do our acting, singing, dancing all at this location whilst, serving people and food and drink.
So you're combining that out-of-work actor as a waitress to actually putting the whole thing together.
And I tell you, Robert, it was I worked there for 10 years on and off, and it became like a family because it was a network where we would find out about jobs, and as soon as you had a job, it was just like, okay, I'm working. I've got this gig for 6 weeks. I'm off. And then 6 weeks were up, or 2 months, or 6 months, whatever the job was, you were out of work again, boom, you were back. Mm-hmm. And you just slid right into your former role, and were able to have a constant job, in essence, that way, you know.
Looking at that, and I think one of the biggest challenges I found as I've talked to people who are in the arts is that whole aspect of being able to make a living at your artistic endeavor. Like you said, you in your case, you're able to combine both the arts element and as well as a job as in the restaurant industry. What was it like back, and I'm assuming we're talking, you know, little while ago, so Toronto's theater yeah. scene wasn't as advanced as it is now.
Right.
What was it like to try and what were the tensions you faced as you tried to build yourself up as an artist as well as try and make a living?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question, Robert. I would say the thing that helped continually build me up is I would always take classes. I would take a different acting classes, scene study classes, voice classes, monologue classes, where we really focused on what is key for an actor, which is your audition, and really sort of fine-tuning those skills. That was a huge thing for me. I studied music all through my time at Toronto, vocal music. Those were the things that would always keep me going when you weren't currently employed. Those were the things that kept your skills sharp and kept you ready and on edge for the next audition. But it's a tough world. I think it was years ago, Paul Newman, I think, was being interviewed, and he said it was like 2% of actors that, or actually it was Michael Douglas, 2% of actors that actually make a good living at what they do. You know, so when you look at, you know, so 98% mm-hmm. Are either not making a living at all, they're in some other business and they're just hitting the auditions that they can, or struggling. And I would say I was kind of in that range where I worked, but it was always a struggle. It was never like, oh, now mm-hmm. I've hit it. Now I've made it. But funnily enough, Robert, if funnily is even a word, I don't even know if that's a word, but I was never in this to make money. I loved it. I loved getting into a character. I loved diving into a piece of music that was exciting and had passion to it. For me, it's been a passion. And then moving down the road later years in my life now and finding, coming to Christ, And blending those, my passion for Christ with a passion I feel now wholeheartedly that he gave me in drama and theater and music is just, it's been beyond my wildest dreams as to how he's challenged me in those ways. And I just feel so much more fulfilled now than I ever did back then when I was struggling.
And we're going to talk about that after this break, because what we do is we do need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk to with our guest, Audience of One Artistic Director Kim Potroff. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection, you've been listening to Do Not Be Afraid, the title track of Guelph musician Glenn Soderholm's 2010 Christmas CD, Do Not Be Afraid. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Kim Potroff, the artistic director of Audience of One. Just before we went to the break, you're talking about that passion for drama, and especially after coming to Christ, how you're able to meld your passion for Christ and your passion for drama, and that's all come together now in Audience of One. Sort of give us the background on how all of that came together.
Well, it's been such a cool journey, Robert. When I look back, and I feel like it's an ongoing journey. When I originally came to Guelph and started attending a church regularly, I got involved in, of course, the drama and what was considered the big thing was their Easter ministry at the time, and got very involved in that. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Had a very warm, welcoming church family right off the get-go, which was wonderful, and I really felt that it was the place I was supposed to be. The woman that was leading the drama ministries was getting married and moving up north, and so I was asked, basically someone knew about my background and asked if I could sort of come in and take over, and so I was talking to my husband about it, and he said, oh honey, I don't know if that's something you want to do, like church ministry, I don't know if that's and I said, well, you know what? I really feel the Lord's putting this on my heart. I'm going to pray about it. Mm-hmm. And I just very much felt led to do it at that time. And so I was where I was always more in an actor role. I took on more of a directorial role and more of a leadership role in that, and then pulling all the parts together, which was a real learning curve for me. But I felt, again, you know, God just leads. As you're obedient, he leads. And I'd say from about 2007, Myself and the woman I was working with closely as a musical director, Gwen Pfeiffer, at the time, we felt this desire to get the ministry out in the community. And I kept saying, well, we're not independently wealthy.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
can't.
The old joke is, how do you make a small fortune in the arts? You start with a big one.
Yeah. You know, so we were just, brainstorming, praying, and my prayer was always, Lord, if you want this to happen, if I'm right with what I feel you're putting on my heart, you will make a way. If you got to knock me over the head with a baseball bat to show me, what it is I need to do, do it, because I want to be your hands and feet with what I feel you're calling me to.
Mm-hmm.
The drama ministry had sort of taken a different turn as pastors changed at our church, and it didn't have the same value, shall we say. And it was an interesting transition for me, though, which I really felt the Lord had intended in allowing me to focus more on something outside mm-hmm. of my church community, which was also a very safe environment, of course.
Yeah.
And then a location presented itself at Strom's Farm. And I'd spoken to the Stroms, who attend our church, presented this idea of what I really felt the Lord had been putting on my heart for a number of years. And Channing Strom and Amy, when I met with them, asked me to put together a proposal. I did that to the best of my ability, not being a business person really at all. And they came back with, we are 110% behind this ministry. We want to use our property for the glory of God. And you can use our barn and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, in that moment, I was elated. And then my next thing was, fear. Like,
yeah.
What do I do now? But God has been so amazing, and how, continual prayer and just, and he's just shown the way. He's brought people into place that, just blow my mind with their skills, their abilities, their love for him. And that's been our focus. That's mm-hmm. the focus of Audience of One, is that it's a theater ministry, and that God is our ultimate director. And he has allowed us this opportunity, or given us this opportunity, to reach the community in yet another way.
Mm-hmm.
There's many people that don't want to attend church for whatever reason. And this is something, Christians can invite their friends to, or anyone can come to this environment and hopefully really be moved. And the hope is that we plant some seeds that only the Lord, can bring to fruition.
Well, looking at that, and I've seen various groups do various different things and ways of approaching this. In your approach to theater with Audience of One, is it to do specifically Christian plays that have a definite Christian message, or is it to do plays that the Christian worldview comes through, but sometimes it isn't specifically? It's not about the gospel. There's not a strong's not the word I was looking for, but like an overt gospel message within the play. Because I've seen theater troupes that do both, and sometimes do one, do the other, or sometimes do both. What direction have you decided with Audience of One to go in that?
Primarily with productions that have a strong focus of God,
mm-hmm.
of either with the hope of explaining and directing someone in that path, or in enlightening them on what this relationship could be like. Our first production, A Wonderfully Wasted Life, I would say it was more along the lines of a softer message in terms mm-hmm. of it was a wonderful story, which absolutely had a message. But I would say our upcoming production has a much stronger a message of just who Christ is, what he's all about, why he longs to have relationship with us. So I would say the focus is always on what we feel that the Lord is leading us to do in order to make him more known in the community. So I don't know if I answered your question there, Robert, or not.
Well, and you alluded to it, and your next production is Dinner with the Perfect Stranger. And I was doing some research on it yesterday. I found out there was actually a movie that was done.
Yes.
And I saw the trailer. And yeah, there's, you know, it's basically, you know, Jesus sends an invitation to somebody to come and talk with him and have dinner with him. I definitely could tell just from the trailer that, you know, if the stage play is similar, especially in terms of text and that, there's definitely the challenge and there's definitely the whole aspect of, you know, what do you believe in God? I think the last part of the trailer says, okay, now we've had this discussion, what are you going to do with it? You know, what are you going to do with me? Type of thing. So what led you in particular to this play and doing it at this particular point in time?
Well, again, it's a that's an interesting journey there. How I always go about trying to find a script, well, always, this is only our second production, but I always feel that I really want the Lord's seal of approval on it. And so I'm going to him saying, what is it you want me to do? What is it you would have us do? And I was reading a number of scripts, most of them by Christian writers, talking to others that I knew in the field, and they were sending me things, and I wasn't finding anything that was really moving me or that I felt God going, that's it. That's what I feel you should be doing. And at one point I brought it up to corporate prayer at church, and I just said, listen, I'm really struggling. Our timelines are coming close. I need to find a production. I don't believe that the Lord would have us start all this and have it shut down after one production. But mm-hmm. Nothing has presented itself that I think is appropriate. That very day after church, talking to a gentleman at doing the coffee, and he said, oh, Kim, have you heard of the book, Dinner with a Perfect Stranger by David Gregory? And I'm like, no. I said, but I love that title. Mm-hmm. Do you have the book? Can I read the book? And so he had the book. He had the movie, A Perfect Stranger by Jefferson Moore that you were talking about. I read that book and, oh my goodness, Robert, this is it. This mm-hmm. is it. I just felt God saying, move forward with this, Kim. I don't care what you have to do. I will give you the steps that you need to take. And it's been an incredible learning process, incredible journey. But we then eventually got permission to do our own stage adaptation. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was already two-thirds of the way through writing it. So I was just praying, Lord, mm-hmm. please give us the permission. And that's how it all came to fruition.
Great. Well, I'm looking at our time. We're quickly running out. I need to take one final break, and then we'll be right back and wrap up our conversation with Audience of One Artistic Director Kim Potroff. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Sojourn of the Kings from the Glory CD of Trevor Dick's two CD Christmas set called Glory and Peace. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish up our conversation with Audience of One Artistic Director Kim Potroff. Kim, what's the next on the agenda for Audience of One? You've done this. This will be your second show now. What's next?
Well, right now, the hope is to do a musical. That musical is picked out already. At this point, we're in search of a musical director. And the hope is that there have been people that have been asked, mm-hmm. and the hope is that someone will be willing to take on this position. It's an overwhelming amount of time, mm-hmm. and obviously the person who takes that on needs to have that passion.
Yep.
That's funny, you were just mentioning Trevor Dick. His music, he's allowed us to use his music in Dinner with a Perfect Stranger.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
So that is fantastic. Yeah, hadn't thought about using him.
Yeah.
No, so the hope is to do a musical.
Yep.
At this point.
Some detail, we got about a minute left. Details on Dinner with the Perfect Stranger. Where can people find out about dates, times, and ticket information?
Okay, well, they can go to our website, www.audienceofoneguelph.ca. You can also purchase tickets at the Gospel Lighthouse in Guelph, or you can call our box office at 836-3036. I think I have the right number there.
Okay.
I'm going off the top of my head here. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, Kim, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Kim Potroff. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selahministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selahministries.ca or follow us on Twitter at @Selah13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.